Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with some special Survivor coverage this week. Wanted to bring you guys another podcast and had the opportunity to talk with Natalie Anderson this week. We had been trying to find a spot where we could talk during the season, and this was a good week because we knocked out the recap and the voicemail with Tyson, so I had an opening in my schedule, so I decided to get Natalie Anderson on the line. So we're going to talk to her here. As we know, the Twinnies, they do shoot from the hip, and occasionally we do have some not so work friendly, not safe for work language in the podcast. So a little bit of the adult language coming up in the podcast, not a insane amount, but just want to give you the heads up here coming up with Natalie. So very much looking forward to talking with her in just a moment. Of course, I mentioned the Tyson podcast. That's up over 3 hours with Tyson on the recap / voicemail show, plus the double exit interviews with Ozzy and Haley, in addition to the know-it-all. So plenty of Survivor content to keep you going before we get into everything with Josh Wigler and why Haley and Ozzy lost with David Bloomberg coming up. And then in addition to that, I've got my Big Brother exit interview and a double recap of the Natalie Anderson's original series, The Amazing Race, 2 episodes of The Amazing Race on Thursday night. So it's been a busy couple of days over here in the podcast. Make sure you get all of it. Rob has a website.com/iTunes is the link for that. And without further ado, let me throw it to my interview with Natalie Anderson. All right, everybody. I'm very excited today to reconnect with someone that we haven't heard from in quite some time. She is the winner of Survivor Bloodwater 2. Please welcome back Miss Survivor, Natalie Anderson.
I know, still reigning Miss Survivor.
Yes. Natalie, yeah, still, nobody's taken your crown away.
I'm wearing it. You can't tell, but I'm wearing that and the sash both.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
It's been like a year. I mean, not that much, actually. It's been a super low-key year for me. Very emotional with like the whole Survivor getting cast and then having to back out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I went back to grad school, which was cool. It was like what I was working towards like over the last 3 years while filming these shows. I was doing the prerequisites for grad school, got into grad school. And then at the same time, that was when I got finally cast for Survivor. I was leaning towards Survivor and I was like, you know what, grad school, one more year or whatever. But then I didn't get medically cleared to go to Survivor because I'd injured my face and I had this huge, like almost like a gash on my cheek. And my dermatologist, I was like, you can communicate with CBS about this because I want to go. And she didn't clear me to go out there. And then I was like, okay, at least I have grad school. I'll start that and get my life together. So I started grad school. I was loving it, but then I gave myself a concussion. And then...
oh my God. Oh, wait, hold on. We barely got into this. And this is like your whole life story. All right. So we haven't talked to you since I looked this up, February 28th. And then we saw you at one of the know-it-alls last spring also. So, all right. So so just wind this back for everybody. Because I think that there's some people that are surprised to know. Because I know that you hear from people on Twitter and social media, but not everybody knows everything. So you were in the mix to be one of the game changers until late in the process, right?
Yeah. So I was officially casted. I was so excited to kind of represent San Juan del Sur. You know, I looked like, you know, obviously it's weird how everybody knows who's going to be out there. So when I saw that Tony was going to be out there, Sandra was going to be out there, I was so stoked. I was like, is this real life? Like, I mean, I was just so excited and I thought that I had a pretty good shot with the people that were cast because even though I'm a winner, people don't look at me like they look at Tony and Sandra because I was like, you know, I was just like a loyal person. And so I feel like I had a good shot and I was so excited. But then having to pull out because of medical reasons, you know, was it just sucked.
And how close were you to going? Were you like days away? Were there weeks?
2 days away. My doctor said, Natalie, CBS, call me. Because we were literally, my doctor was waiting until like the last day to kind of make the call for me. And I was like, I don't want to be involved because if you ask me if I want to go, I'm going to say yes. You know, my cheek, if it heals messed up for me, I wouldn't have cared, you know, whatever. But my doctor kind of took the reins on it. And Lynn and my doc kind of talked. And then she talked to the CBS doctor and she was like, Natalie's not ready. So it was kind of nice that that decision was made for me and I didn't have to make the decision for myself. Mm-hmm. But either way, it sucked. And, you know, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to watch the season because I was going to be so being so salty about it. But, you know, I was now it's fine and I'm like watching it. But I was like, I don't know if I can even watch because it's going to be so I'll have so much like just regret watching it and wishing I was out there.
Now, how is everything with your wound? Everything is healed?
Now my face is fine. Now it's just my brain. Then I gave myself a concussion in August. And like my symptoms have still, it still kind of bothers me sometimes. It's my fourth concussion. So every concussion gets worse and worse as far as symptoms and how mm-hmm. long they can last. Also just women, there's been a lot of compelling studies that show that women tend to have longer lasting post-concussion syndrome because of like hormones and a bunch of other random shit. But it just sucks. I know I'm so reckless. So it's like this year has been so hard for me because I haven't had like a full break in my concussion where I can just work out and not think about it. So right now I'm in a good spot, but I'm still living like a very modified life as far as working out and like doing what I want to do.
Wow, this is a lot to take in. And I had heard about your concussion. I saw that you had done a couple of interviews.
I just did one podcast. That's yeah. all. I'm not cheating on you.
No,
Rob.
But it's not even a Survivor podcast, right?
No, it wasn't. It yeah. wasn't.
It was like a medical podcast.
No, it was a concussion podcast.
Yes. Yes. I wasn't accusing you of anything. That okay. Look, if you were dead to me, we wouldn't be talking right now.
Yeah.
And the concussion podcast that I saw that you, when you were tweeting about that, I was like, oh, my God, that must be why you didn't go play Survivor. Yeah. So in my mind, I just sort of like connected those two things. But that's good to clear all of that up. And then yeah. you're feeling better now?
Yeah, like right now, I mean, throughout my concussion, I've been able to run and swim because my body's used to such a high, like running and swimming for me is like almost like a person, another person's like walking or jogging. So it doesn't, it's just like stimulates like blood flow to my brain, which makes me feel good. I haven't really got back to CrossFitting in like the last year. I've got to it in January and I got to CrossFit for like 2 months and then randomly my symptoms came back. So I had to dial back the lifting again. But right now I feel good. I'm so ADD and I'm so like antsy to work out. So I just have to give myself time to heal properly. So I'm trying to be as like good as I can, but it's very difficult.
Does the concussion prevent you from doing something like Survivor again?
No, it won't. If I got hit on the head while I was on the beach, I would have to just really, really probably be like, I need to like either, you know, don't let me do anything and rest. It's the same as my knee. Like I went in on Survivor with 3 knee surgeries. It doesn't prevent me from going on Survivor, but I was so conscious of my knee. So when I was going against Val on the water, like the sumo at sea challenge, I took my buff and I borrowed other people's buffs and made myself like a makeshift knee brace because I know my knee, I'm just nervous about things like that because I've been injured so many times. So it's not going to prevent me from going out. It would affect the way I play. So if there was a challenge and it would risk me, you know, knocking my head on the ground, I'd just be more conscious about my brain and my head.
Do you know, I you know, follow this very closely with the NFL, but if yeah. a player during Survivor got a concussion, would they have to be medevaced from the game?
So that depends on like how many concussions they've had probably and how severe their symptoms are. So like a concussion isn't a concussion. So like even though when I hit my head, I gave myself a concussion front squatting, I didn't black out. I felt good and I continued to front squat, then did a workout. But 24 hours later, when I woke up the next day, I knew I was concussed because I know the feeling of being concussed because I've had so many concussions. So as long as they're not throwing up if you're throwing up and if you have really bad symptoms where there could be a potential brain bleed, then they would probably medevac you. But if you just show symptoms of fatigue, sleepiness, and like headaches, and you're not throwing up and your pupils aren't crazy dilated, they'd probably let you be on the beach. I'm assuming they'd have like one of the doctors come take a look and they can tell by your heart rate, your pulse, how severe it is. But if you're throwing up after a head hit, you got to be medevaced.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, that'll be something if we end up getting the concussion protocol going on in Survivor.
Yeah. So it's so bizarre because I studied it while I was in school because I was in school for athletic training and then it happened to me. So I knew everything. So I ended up throwing up one weekend because I was trying to study while I was concussed, and that's like the worst thing you can do because your brain really needs physical, mental, and emotional rest. And that's really hard to get for me because I'm just like a crazy person. So I was studying while I was concussed and I ended up throwing up because my symptoms got so bad. I drove myself to the hospital because Nadia wasn't here. And that's when they did like the CT scan because they were worried that I had internal bleeding. But I didn't. I was just like making myself, my symptoms so bad by trying to study and read. And, you know, I'm more bronze than brain. So studying for me is very hard in itself without a concussion. Yeah. So with a concussion.
Don't sell yourself short on the brains either.
No, I mean, I'm brainy, but compared to the average brownie, I'm definitely more bronze than I am brain. Okay. Like my big sister, she's like the typical brownie. She's all brains, no brawn. Like Yale Medical School, like just decided she wanted to go to med school and gets into Yale. Me and Nadia are way more street smart and bronze, you know, if anything.
And how is Nadia doing?
She's good. She's good. She's not here. Otherwise, I would have her say hi. She's in Connecticut hanging out. So she's good.
All right. Now, you said you didn't know if you were going to watch Survivor after that. I think that last season we were texting about like what's going on with the Millennials versus Gen X. And you were like, I'm not really on top of it. But season, I'm happy to see that you're back in the mix. And I know you have to like do the experiment in your head of if you were out there, how would you be doing? Do you think that you would have probably been one of these big targets who was taken out early? Or do you think you could have somehow got past that?
I would have convinced all the winners. And obviously I kind of fucked up the numbers with the winners. Cause if I was out there, there would have been two girl winners and two guy winners. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what tribe I would have been on. I'm guessing I would have been on whatever tribe Sierra ended up on.
And people who may not know this. So then at the last minute you were out and then they called in Sierra Dawn Thomas, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So, I mean, I knew she was in the casting mix before because we see everybody when we go out to LA. So, like, I'm assuming, like, they obviously, I'm sure, had their backups in mind. But I don't know why they just didn't cast Nadia immediately. Nadia didn't have any of her paperwork, but they could have just, like, been like, all right, Nadia, Natalie, just come out here and get your physical done and just get out on the beach, you know?
I love that idea so much. Now, would they have put on Nadia as Nadia, or would they have tried to fool everybody and say, here's Natalie?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like fans would have been able to tell, but yeah. So no, Nadia would have been a good mix because she would have been fun to watch. I mean, no shade at Sierra. Well, I guess a little bit shade, but I would have rather seen Nadia out there.
Right. And Sierra has made the most of her opportunity in fairness to Sierra.
Yeah, I'm actually happy she's doing more than last time. Last time she was just like a wallflower. So I'm like happy that she's trying to mix things up.
Yeah, that would be very interesting, though, if then Nadia got the shot. Does your understudy? I think that would be very fun.
It would have been so amazing.
And then would she have been targeted because like, she's just like a winner.
I don't know, because like it could go either way. She could have been like, people could have been immediately targeted her because like they would think that she's going to be like me, or just be like the other girl, Francesca, and been like, forget her, vote her off first and make her two-time vote off first.
That's why she should have said she was you for the first vote and then come clean after the day four. Yeah. Say, guys, I have something to tell you. I'm not really Natalie. I'm Nadia.
I mean, Nadia, I feel like Nadia, I don't know. That's like a sucky situation to be in. Like, I can't imagine how Francesca deals with that. Like, it sucks and people are stupid. So whatever.
Does Nadia talk about that? Does she say that she would not want to go again because she's afraid that that would happen to her?
She's not afraid to go back. Me and her have joked about it and she'd be like, oh, hell no, if that happens to me. And I'm like, no, Nadia, it won't happen to you. But we joke about it. She would never not go back if they asked her.
Yeah.
Depending, like, you know, I mean, I'm sure she wouldn't, but I'm sure she thinks about that in the back of her mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you could come out for the family visit. And if things are going, you know, really not great, yeah, you could switch. You
might like, tap in. I'll go in now.
Yeah. You might have to like stop eating also on day one just to sort of like sync that up. But, we'll save that for a Survivor fan fiction in the future. All right. So talk a little bit about what's actually happening over there. So you feel like that you could have gotten all the winners back on one page, but obviously that didn't happen. Yeah. We lost Ozzy and Haley.
Everybody, watching the first couple of episodes, I was like, each week, well, losing Tony was hard enough. And then every episode, I was like, no. I feel like their egos are so big, and I feel like I don't have that ego. So I would have been able to glue all these crazy egos together and be like, guys, chill the fuck out. stop worrying about yourselves and your characters and who you think you should be and like looking like a certain kind of way to the fans and the public. Just chill out. Let's all work together and get past and ward off all these bums first. And then let's worry about duking it out later. That's what I would have done. But everybody's egos are inflamed. I feel like people are playing characters of themselves to the, you know, to the fifth power. It's nuts.
Why? Who do you feel like is the most guilty of that?
I mean, Tony was a nutcase.
And you're like me. You love Tony, right?
I love Tony and I love Sandra, but they literally like bonkers. I was like, Sandra, stop calling yourself a queen in front of other people. Like, I love the confessional. It's like calling yourself the queen, like to the camera is cool. But like in front of people, you're just making it so hard for people to ignore the fact that you've been voted like a winner twice and you've gone to the finals twice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Tony should have switched up his game and just been like really coy and like said something about how he had having his child changed him as a person and just been almost the opposite to just kind of deflect anything as long as he could without people thinking he was crazy. Instead, he's trying to bury himself in the dirt and stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting that that's where you come from with this, because I think that you're absolutely right about it. And I wonder if there's any part of it that's just like, you know, some people are just trying to like chase that sort of past glory. And I wonder if it's just because San Juan del Sur, you guys got treated like sort of like second class citizens of Survivor, where they were like halfway through your finale and they went and started like, hey, we're going to start talking about the next season. So
yeah,
maybe
oh my God, totally.
You don't have that ego other than being Miss Survivor.
Yeah, I don't have, I mean, I don't think I would have had an ego unless somebody's like challenged like how hard it was for me and they try to say just because I played with a bunch of numbnuts that it was easy to win, then I'm going to get defensive because, you know, you can't, just because everybody was like, and I'm not arguing with the fact that we had a bunch of idiots on San Walden, Del Sur, but it doesn't make it easier to navigate the waters of Survivor because you're playing with a bunch of idiots. Like, it's almost harder because you can't predict people and you have to play, you know, and I never said that I was a full-time Survivor buff. Like, obviously I watched seasons before I got there, but you know, I wouldn't call myself a Jeremy or a Kelly.
And again, talk about like, oh, they're a bunch of idiots in San Juan del Sur. That's before, you know, Jeremy and Kelly come back and, you know, do really, really well in the second chance season. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not a bunch of idiots like we thought maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that we had our decent amount of idiots, but not all idiots, okay? I would say 50% of the people had probably never watched Survivor, okay, before we went out, which is probably Survivor history.
Yeah. But it was still a fun ride.
Yeah, I love my season. I love our cast. You know, Keith is like amazing, whether, you know, and everybody knows he never watched a season of Survivor before, and he was awesome to watch. And he ended up playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Even though he was clueless the whole time.
That can be a little overrated, how much Survivor you know necessarily before you go out there and play. What about Ozzy this week who went out? Did you see that coming, that this was how it was going to end for Ozzy?
Well, I feel like, you know, that challenge was like on a silver platter for him to win immunity. I know that like him and Ty's so light and he's so agile. So I knew Ty would give him a run for his money. It just sucks that Ozzy had like couldn't win because I feel like production wanted him to win because they knew they wanted that he was on the chopping block maybe. I just think that Ozzy was too nice. Obviously, this whole time he's been doing all this fishing for everybody and he felt like that people are not going to vote him off because of that, which is like, I feel like that's kind of just, I don't know how he can even convince himself of the fact that people are going to keep him around just because he can fish. I mean, that's awesome for his tribe. But I think that they shouldn't have voted him off because he doesn't really ruffle any feathers. If he was voting with me, I wouldn't have got rid of him this early. I would have kept him around because he's not unpredictable like all these other crazy people.
You know, I thought it was a kind of similar situation where Ozzy and Ty were up there in that immunity challenge and Ozzy's hanging on forever until ultimately he has to give up and come down. And everybody's sitting there like, boy, Ozzy's really tough to beat. Boy, I mean, can't believe how long Ozzy's hanging out up there. And I thought of back in San Juan del Sur when you and Reed were in that endurance challenge forever. And then eventually you got like a bunch of food from Jeff and then you came down. And Reed was the one who had immunity and he did need it. But was any part of you thinking that, you know, I've just exposed how good I can be in these challenges and now I'm not the one who has immunity?
Yeah, well, you know what? On my season, it's so weird. And I think it's everybody knew I was amazing at challenges, but they just it didn't phase the way they put me together as a competitor. So it was awkward to me because I was sitting there and even like Missy and everybody, I liked it, but it didn't make sense to me that Missy, when I got off, she's like, you are a beast, Natalie. Like, you are one of the strongest girls I've ever known. Yet John and Jacqueline, Baylor, all the guys, they just didn't put that into like the equation of me being a threat. So they like almost had two different like ways to look at me, and they would look at me doing good on challenges, liking everybody, being liked by everybody. And then they saw me as this like, you know, just a girl hanging out on the beach. And I didn't like it. They didn't put one and two and two together. And so that was to me like awesome. But I didn't really think of it while I was out there because I wanted to win so bad. But I did. I was nervous until I realized that everybody on my tribe wasn't even thinking that much about it. So I was like, forget it. Who cares?
Do you think that Ozzy should have not tried to go all out to win that challenge?
I think if he was going to talk the talk, he should have been able to win it and been confident. If he said that I'm going to win this, I'm going to beat my record. So I think if he had any doubts, he should have just kept his mouth closed and just, you know, backed out, because it would have made people feel way safer having him around if like he just fell off accidentally, and like people wouldn't have even thought about him as being like this crazy challenge beast because they kept talking about Ozzy has the record for this, Ozzy that. And so when your name's been put out there, even subconsciously, people are just going to hear it. It's going to be bad news for you at Tribal.
Yeah, and I know it's dangerous to do it if you're Ozzy, but I just feel like if he would have not started winning challenges right after the merge, or he didn't actually even win any, but the not being right in the mix in a challenge like that, it really puts it sort of top of mind where then when you get down to final six, final seven, maybe then he can win the last couple and sort of sneak into the finals. But that's not going to be the case for Ozzy this time around. You know, somebody else that's really sort of been tough to pin down this season has been Debbie. And I would just love to get your take on where she is, because I know you played with some kooky characters
but nobody like Debbie. Nobody. You know, Debbie's like really, really fun to watch. I don't know if she's really that crazy or if she's pretending, like she said last episode where she was like, people think I'm drunk, but I'm not drunk. I'm just acting crazy and drunk. I think it's a mix of both. Either way, I would be nervous to play with a girl like her because you literally don't know what she's going to do. She's telling people, I want to make big moves. I don't know what that is. I would never say that to somebody unless they were like my number one like person I could trust, because I don't understand how people say these things to people that they can't trust and expect people not to get nervous to play with them. It's awkward. I don't get it. Maybe we're not seeing the whole picture, but she's crazy. She's fun to watch. I think that she might be able to go far because, you know, the merge was such a shit show and everybody doesn't know what they're doing and where they stand yet. So she might get by a couple of more episodes, but if I feel like behaving like that, it's crazy that she's still even on the beach, like the way she has breakdowns and meltdowns.
Somebody like that has been really fun to watch on TV, but I'm just trying to put myself in the perspective of somebody who's like on the jury. And could you really vote for a person where we've seen so many people where the biggest factor is, you know, how likable they are? Do they play the game and were they likable? And do I want to see this person win? And somebody like Debbie, where you never feel like you really know who they are, I feel like that would be really difficult to give that person the money.
Yeah, it is. And that's exactly right. Like, I'm just picturing myself now in the jury. If Debbie was sitting up there, there's nothing she could say to convince me that she's a worthy winner. And I'm trying to think who I would listen to, because right now, none of the people sitting like on the beach have done anything. Like, yeah, Zeke's story is the most compelling. And that's what people are realizing now, is that Zeke is bad news if he gets to the final just because of his story. But besides that, I don't know what huge moves anybody has really made on the beach that would convince me to vote for them. Mm-hmm. 'Cause everybody's just like jumping ship back and forth and still trying to find their ground on like where they stand and with who that's with, you know?
Yeah, let me ask you a little bit about the idea that Zeke has the best story. Now, I don't remember if this was necessarily in the edit or if this was something that you guys were dealing with on the island, but everything with John and Jacqueline between that John has, you know, his father was sick, and then also Jacqueline, she had the condition where they couldn't have kids. Did you guys know about all those things while you were on the island?
Yeah, well, John brought up his dad once when we were all at Tribal, but I don't know if we were just all so vile, but we literally, nobody cared about John. John talked about it randomly. Like, no, he had never told any of us. And then Keith was like, immediately after, Keith was like, well, I hope like everybody can just, you know, make sure that they keep their focus on what's important. And we were like, oh my God, Keith, that's so savage right there. And I was like, I can't believe Keith just did that. And we just kind of brushed over it. Nobody gave John probably the sympathy that he deserved to say that and bring that up. And I think that might have had something to do with the fact that John was also lying that he was a guidance counselor and had no money and had to quit his job to come out there. So people had this like skeptical opinion of John. So when he said that, maybe some of us didn't believe it at the time. I don't know, but it was never like the focus of anybody's game and nobody cared. Like the reason I didn't want John to go to the final was not because I thought he had a good story. I just hated the fact that John betrayed me and did that to Jeremy. So for me, my motivation was not to get him out. I thought I could win against John in the final. I just didn't want him sitting in that final three because I was being a crazy person.
Well, you being a good survivor.
Yeah, I know. But I knew I would beat John in the final. There was no doubts. The only person I was scared about losing to was Keith because the bro fest that was sitting across from me. Like if I went to Missy and Baylor, obs, I would have been a unanimous win because nobody would have voted for them, you know. But Keith, I was so nervous about because I was like, we have a bunch of people who've never watched Survivor. They're just going to be like, yo, Keith, but that's my man. Keith is my man. And just vote for him. So I was like so nervous that that was the only guy I was nervous to lose against was Keith. Even though he didn't do jack beans to get to the final three, I was still nervous to lose to him.
Can I ask you a little bit about that conversation that we saw between Suri and Michaela? Because yeah. I feel like that I've seen you, and tell me if I've misquoted you, but no. That you've talked about how if Nadia was on a tribe and there was another brown person there with her, yeah. that things probably would have gone a different direction for her in Survivor San Juan del Sur. Did that really speak to you, that conversation that Suri and Michaela were having during the game?
Yes, watching it was, I mean, for me, it was a powerful moment. And I'm not even African-American. Of course, I'm a woman and I'm a minority. Like Jeff said, I'm a double minority in this game. And watching it was powerful because it's something that Survivor almost doesn't want to acknowledge, that being a minority, being gay, being a woman, it affects the way the game is handled, right? So it's like everybody knows it's a factor in how people treat you, how the vote goes. But nobody really wants to come out and say like, oh, yeah, Nadia's tribe. They voted out the brown girl first, the black girl second, you know. And then when I was with So, like Nadia, So, Val and I have talked about this. And we said if So was there, not So. So or Do, whichever one, like because we don't know which girl was going to be on the tribe. So
right. Just to reset that because So Kim and her sister were supposed to be in that season and then they got cut and then ended up with less women exactly. than men in that season also on top of that.
So like we also lost a woman, but we also lost a minority, right? So we lost one of those quote unquote double minorities that Jeff like asked Nadia about. So I can't say so, but
Anyway,
so when we were talking, when So, Val, Nadia and I were talking, So said, listen, if it was me or my sister, we would have stuck together. We wouldn't have been flippers and that would have changed that whole first vote. And I think it's a definite factor. I mean, like for Nadia and I, the stupid amazing race came into play because Dale was a crazy super fan and being obsessed with that. And the guys on that tribe were just like completely like such bros that Nadia had no chance. But I think it definitely is a factor. And watching, you know, Michaela and Suri come together and kind of Suri being like a mother figure to her and kind of like help out. I think it was a powerful moment. And I think that it's really cool that she looked out for her and more than sticking together as minorities, but as women kind of like having each other's back. Cause on Survivor, you see girls that are so easily to be convinced that they're a bro. Like I was a quote unquote bro, but I was secretly not. Like it's really easy for me to get along with the guys. And Drew thought I was one of the bros, but I wasn't really with him. I really meshed well with guys. But I'm always, you know, girl power versus just like being one of the guys to think of myself as being cool.
Right. If anything, that there were guys in your season getting on people or the women like, hey, you know, Jacqueline's not doing anything around the camp. If anything, it was reversed where you were getting on Drew for not doing any work around the camp.
Exactly. And I listen, when the girls were being called out, I almost agreed with the guys because the girls weren't doing a lot. But I would never, like, I'm not going to stand up there and like pick sides, like, and I'm not going to be some crazy feminist on the beach either. Because when the guy, I mean, when John, you know, said I look like a man, obviously I wrecked him and I like stood up for myself because my definition of what, you know, his definition of beauty is a girl that weighs 100 pounds and has fake boobs. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome, John. But, you know, I just, for that, I'm going to go crazy. I don't care. But for the most part, I just let people do whatever they want and then just have my own opinions because you can't afford to always like yell at people on Survivor.
Okay. Could you talk about what went on strategically this week? Because I've had a hard time sort of trying to figure out where Zeke was going with everything.
Yeah, I don't get Zeke at all. Like, I think that he's doing way too much. He's doing the most, basically. And he has people who trust him and want to work with him. And I don't know why he feels like so he wants to make these big moves and he'd rather regret them than not make them. But that doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you're on the cusp of making it one more week and, you know, surviving and keeping your alliances closer, the motivation for him to be doing what he does, I don't understand. So I don't understand what his end goal is because he's making everybody upset.
It's so hard, I think, that once you get to the merge, like the further out you make that big move or try to flip things over, then I think that the harder you have to play the rest of the way. And here we are now. I think it was like, what, day 24 that tribal council would have been. It's just like still like 2 weeks of potentially having a bunch of people mad at you and then coming for you and having to, you know, it can be done. You have to keep like flipping things around, but especially when probably Zeke is a long shot to win a ton of immunities down the stretch. Like, that's a long way to go.
Yeah. And maybe like he's obviously maybe some brainy stuff, but he's not a physical threat on the beach. I don't think so.
No slouch. Not bad. I think he's good in the water, but
But I mean, look at the guys there. They have Cole Pepper, like basically, you know, Robocop out there. So it's like impossible for, if I was Zeke, I would be like, oh, forget it. I can beat everybody at immunity challenges. But yeah, I think it's too early for him to be doing this. If he kept people on his side after what happened at tribal council and maneuvered his way as being, I would use the sympathy. Like, I'm so happy that he stood up for himself and said, I don't need your sympathy to Varner or whatever. But I would use the sympathy, whatever credit I could get after that vote, to coast to the end. I wouldn't be trying to act, you know, like I'm some, like Tony, basically. I would use the sympathy credit. I would stay on everybody's good side and I would coast.
Yeah, it's such a complicated issue because now people feel like they're coming for him because, oh, he has the best story. So yeah. I wonder if it's sort of like twofold where he's trying to, you know, make this not the story where people are back to the players in the game, specifically back to focusing on what he's doing as a player. And then also if when he gets to the final tribal council, the other jurors might say, oh, well, do you expect us to just vote for you because you have this best story. And he's like, no, I made this move.
Exactly.
So I think he might be trying to change the narrative.
Yeah. And he's like a hardcore Survivor fan. So he probably wants to take pride in getting to the end and being able to say something instead of just making it to the end. And that's, I feel like, listen, if you make it to the end, you make it to the end. Like, I wouldn't say he's like amazing, but for me, making it to the end is more important than making it one more episode and then being voted out. And then you have like one big move, but you got voted out second and you're the second person on the jury, you know? So you have to pick your battles and the timing is so important. And I think it's a little bit early.
I think that that was something that you did exceptionally well in your season, especially because that you had the point where you got, you know, screwed over on the Jeremy vote, but you just sort of like bided your time and waited and picked your spot to make the big move. Actually, now that I'm thinking of it, Did that first tribal council where it was, you know, Michaela versus Haley in terms of which pawn is going to go home, did that remind you at all about the, you know, Keith Nail versus Alec Christie? Now, certainly it was not as dramatic as you who switched your vote and then told everybody like, oh, I screwed up. I voted for the wrong person.
Yeah.
But it was an important pawn for both sides that they wanted to keep into the game.
Yeah, that was, I mean, for me, that was such a hard decision because I knew Keith was a challenge threat. I knew Alec, I could beat him blindfolded in any challenge, unless it was water. That boy can swim. But besides that, like I knew, you know, it's we're not having a 50 meter dash for immunity. Okay, so I knew that if it was anything, I could beat Alec in a challenge, but I knew Keith was dangerous because then he could coast to the end. But like you said, like that vote makes such a critical decision in the power of balance and what group of people have the upper hand. I thought Michaela was going to go home, and I was like, okay, if I think Michaela is going home so early, she's definitely not going home. I'm happy she didn't go. And Haley is just like, she called herself a goat when she got voted off. I was like, is this girl serious? Like, what the hell?
Which kind of goat? The greatest of all time?
I don't know who. Okay, Jeremy still says that, but I don't. When I think goat, I think back goat. I mean, if I was her, I'd have gotten up. I would have taken off all my accessory clothing. I would have stood there, shaken my bag, and be like, "Dude, I don't have a idol. Keep me around. Whoever tribe, I will vote with you." Because at least she acknowledges that she's a goat. I'd have been like, "I will be your goat. Ba ba ba, all the way to the end. I will follow you." Like I would have said that. She did enough, and it was interesting that she said that, but she didn't execute with the stripping and showing that she didn't have the idol.
Do you think that another survivor will eventually do that one day where they will dump out their bag and they will, like, you know, get down to like their underwear and say, look, I have nothing?
Honestly, I had never thought about that before, but I think that it's a really, actually a really strong, powerful move if you did it. I think that it's a really convincing way to tell people, like, listen, I know you're splitting the votes for no reason. I don't have an idol. Do not vote for me.
And then you could give the idol to your friend before tribal council and say, hey, you hold on to this. And then I'm going to strip
down. Play for me.
Yeah. You know, this season they changed the rules to make that if it's any tie vote, it goes to a rock draw.
Yeah,
now, you successfully executed a 2-2-2 back in Survivor San Juan del Sur.
Yeah.
That would now go to a rock draw. And I don't even know how that would work out. I'd have to.
Yeah, that season, then John would have drawn. Who else did we?
No, I think that the people, the other three people that didn't have votes on them would draw
what?
The rocks. Yeah.
Oh, that's how it works?
Yeah, well, then it would be the people that was who didn't get votes. It was
me, Missy, and Baylor, I think.
So you, Missy, and Baylor actually then would act. Well, it would have been fine because then you have to do a consensus. So they would have said, okay, you three need to decide unanimously who you want to send home. And Missy would have to say that at that point that she wanted John to go home. Otherwise, you three would have to draw rocks.
Oh, weird. Awkward. Yeah, that's weird.
So Missy would have had to turn on her beloved John Mish.
Yeah.
But I think she would have done it to protect Baylor from drawing rocks.
Maybe. I don't know. Honestly.
Because that would have been. This is a sticky
situation. Too long. Too long since I've heard that song. I'm obsessed.
Yes. Let's. You mentioned Brad Culpepper, and you called him RoboCop. Do you like Brad Culpepper?
You know, he's fun to watch. I heard that his edit is kinder than it should be, but I think it's cool that he's showing this, like, quote unquote, softer side. I believe in second chances. Obviously, his first season, he was a complete lunatic, and everybody hated him. I think that if he is even half, like, of what he seems like he's being, and he's like, with the whole Debbie situation, he remained very, very calm, which is like, I don't know how he did that. So I like watching him. I think he's good. I think he's doing just enough to not be voted out. And I think it's hard to get by, like, being as, you know, as a strong as a competitor as he is, to keep going without people just wanting to, like, vote you out, because it's an easy way to get the target off you. I also think people think if he's going to make it to the end, he's not going to win, which makes it a little easier to keep him around. But hey, if he did make it all the way to the end, I think he has could spin it around to make it seem like a compelling reason why he should win, especially if he's, like, being nice to people.
One of the things that we've heard about Brad Culpepper is that, you know, everything that he did in his first season, he was just super emotional because Monica was there. And it was all because that he was trying to protect her. Obviously, you referenced when you got into it with John Rocker, you looked at him as somebody who voted out Nadia. So how much do you buy that, where just having your loved ones out there, and especially when they get taken out and you're blaming somebody else, that how much does that sort of like amp up the tension?
I mean, I think it's totally viable. Like, if John Rocker didn't say anything about Nadia, he said, I'm going to send her like room service tonight, I would have attacked him and been like, you're a racist, you're a homophobe. I would have kept my mouth shut, but he said something. It just triggered something in me. Like, when I tell you, I didn't think I was going to go out there guns blazing at John Rocker. I didn't even know who this fool was, for God's sakes. Like, obviously Jeremy and Josh, like, fill me in on all this, not Josh, Reed, fill me in on all this information about him that, you know, I was clueless about. But I think that when you're out there, and especially like husband and wife, is like such a close bond, and him being such like a, I guess I'm pretty sure he probably thinks he's like the protector of Monica or whatever. So I'm pretty sure that it would have affected him. He's obviously playing way better and nicer without her around.
And also, the Redemption Island, I think, was also really toxic also, because you guys didn't have the Redemption Island. Yeah. You guys just had like a little duel between the two tribes.
Yeah.
But then, like, imagine like you're in that sort of like heated situation, and like there's like Nadia and Val at Redemption Island.
Our stupid like arena thing was so dumb. It was like every time we'd go there and be like, okay, now there's one less loved one. So like, what do I do? And then like the challenge was just, it's like lame. So the Redemption Island in itself, like people are really fighting for their life, and you have to watch your loved one compete against somebody else's loved one. That is some intense shit. Like, obviously watching Julie versus John was intense in like the little duel. And then he almost like, you know, chopped her head off because she beat him. So like that was intense, but it didn't weigh the same as somebody fighting for their life in front of their loved ones versus another person's loved one, you know?
Yeah, where you have somebody, you know, you have Candace is like yelling
who's the girl with the, I can't pronounce his name.
Jervis's
cousin. We got so heated.
Yeah. So it really probably did, you know, ratchet things up to a much higher degree. So, you know, maybe we like look back at that and say, okay, well, maybe there were some extenuating circumstances there with the loved ones.
Loved ones always make things more complicated, okay?
So talk to me about Sierra Dawn Thomas in terms of the opportunity that she's had here. She's the new sheriff.
Apparently.
Yes, the new sheriff in town.
Yeah. Obviously it's easy for me to be salty, but I'm happy that she's, like I said, doing more than she did the whole first season. She's, you know, performing well on challenges, which is nice. And she's, you know, actually trying to play the game, which is always fun to watch. So I'm excited for her.
Now, in terms of her and that relationship with Brad, how do you see it? Do you see it as Sierra is calling the shots, or is Brad calling the shots with her?
It's Brad calling the shots. I think that, and this is like not only Sierra, but I think girls, like this is how Bela was on the beach, right? So the big, tall guys or whatever, the idiot guys on the tribe come up to a girl and is like, let's work together. A girl's ego is so like, on the beach especially, like, I feel like this happens a lot. Like, the girls they're all riled up and they're like, oh my God, I'm one of the guys. That was Baylor. She thought she was one of the guys. It's like, no, all the guys hated you. They just wanted your vote, and you should have stuck with the girls. So I just hope that Sierra isn't just being used by the guys and thinking she's like cool. And if she was making her own decisions, I would be really excited for her. But I just think that it's more, she's just being used by the guys, and she thinks she's one of the bros that's going to get her head chopped off soon.
Well, there's not really that many guys that are on that side. Like, Brad has, gone after a lot of these alpha male types. Really, the only other guy that's with them is Troyzan and now Ty.
Yeah, Ty, yeah. So who's in her alliance now?
Well, if we go by the people that voted against Ozzy, it was Brad, Sierra, Troyzan, Debbie, Ty, and Sarah.
Okay. I think that Sarah is, like, in the middle, though. I don't know where Sarah is really I don't know. That's confusing for me. And so is Debbie. Debbie's confusing for me too.
Well, Debbie's confusing for everybody. But in terms of Sarah, do you like Sarah? That she's another, you know, tough, strong woman.
Yeah, so I was like rooting for Sandra. When Sandra got voted off, now I'm rooting for Sarah because she CrossFit and she's, I'm going to be rooting for, I would have liked to see Ozzy win, but now from the guys, I don't really like anybody that I would be like, you know, rooting for. I wouldn't mind some of them winning, but now that Sandra's off, I'm rooting for Sarah.
All right, you mentioned Sandra. I want to start asking you some questions that I have for you from the listeners.
Sure.
So this is from Tova Atta. He says how CBS recently listed you as a villain in their Ultimate Survivor tournament. Do you see yourself as a villain?
We need to talk about this. So now I beat two villains. I feel like I beat two villains being a hero, which is pretty badass. And then...
Oh, so you were a hero and now you're in the playing against the villain?
No, I think I'm a hero. I don't think I should be categorized as a hero, but I was. And I beat two actual villains in this thing, like this draft, like voting thing. So I went against Abby first. I beat Abby. Then I went against Cass. I beat Cass. Now I'm up against Sandra. Like, hello, am I really going to beat Sandra?
Okay. But you were a villain, though.
I don't think I should be. I think that if I was in the hero category, I have a better chance of winning the final winner.
Okay. Well, if you can't pick what category you're in, that's the bracket.
But that all the fans are tweeting me saying that they think I'm more of a hero than I am a villain. So wait, do you think I'm more of a villain?
I'm trying to think if...
Like, I did a lot of villainous things for, I think, a heroic cause.
There's only so many people, though, that are actual true villains that sort of, like, embrace it, sort of like a Russell who wasn't even on the board. So I think we have to just look at people who were sort of, like, you know, willing to really get their hands
sneaky
dirty.
Things, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I agree. Like, after, like, I didn't do anything for any of the idiots on my tribe once Jeremy went. I was against every single person. Like, I hated everybody and I didn't want, like, if I could have gone to final three by myself and voted off everybody, I would have done that. But the reason of why I was doing the stuff I was doing, like lying to everybody, was the hidden cause was a family and loyalty. So that's why I think fans, I embraced being a villain, but I think the fans feel like I'm a hero. But and that's why I tweeted. I said, you know what? Not all villains are just crazy people, like, being mean to people right in front of their face. Sometimes it's the sneaky ones who's all there. Everything they do is, you know, for something like revenge, but still they're doing messed up things.
Natalie, if it makes you feel better, I was also listed as a villain also.
Villain,
and I should be a hero.
I mean, I really don't. I embrace being a hero. I mean, a villain, but I think the fans just wanted me to see me in the...
That's
in
what
the
I heard hero. Also. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we are. We're down to only eight. Also, interestingly, okay, let me just get your, if you were going to put a vote out there. Ceri versus Kelly Wentworth on the hero side.
Ceri.
Okay, Ceri, okay. Come on. Will you endorse Kelly Wentworth for something once?
I would. Like, I said she did badass on okay, but me versus Sandra. Obviously, I would vote for myself, but I think most fans are going to vote for Sandra.
Okay, all right. So Ozzy versus Malcolm.
Ozzy
over Malcolm as a hero. Okay. Yeah. And then Boston Rob versus Tony as the other villain.
Come on. I'm from Jersey. I'm voting
Team
for
Tony.
Team
TV.
Team Tony.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now here you are. Now it's Sandra versus you for best villain. Why should people vote for you instead of Sandra?
I can argue that I did way more on the beach with my resources than Sandra did, right? So I can say, if you look at every vote after the merge, I mean, after Jeremy got voted off, the things I did were really villainous. So like me taking John Mitch with me to eat, but like hating his guts, but kind of just like doping him into thinking that I was on his tribe and then voting him off. Finding an idol with somebody who was my quote unquote survivor sister and using the idol against her was really, you know, villainous.
Yes.
So, and then telling Jacqueline that, you know, lying to her about saying that the reason I wanted her to be with me is because she voted with Nadia. But really, I just wanted to take the gold with me to the final three. I didn't want to sit there with Keith. Yeah. That's like villainous. And like the blind side and then Alec, I guess that's not really villainous.
Yeah. All right, here. So I have a test for you. Okay. So I'm going to ask you some things that Sandra did. And then you tell me if you would also have done them. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Would you have thrown out all the fish so nobody in Pearl Islands could have eaten any fish after Rupert got voted off?
I wouldn't have thrown it out. I would have saved it for myself and hidden it somewhere. But okay. But I probably wouldn't waste the fish.
All right. Would you have thrown Russell's hat in the fire?
Yes.
Okay. I sense some hesitation there.
Yeah, because I don't know that episode, so it's hard for me to in the context.
Okay. Now, here is the big question. Natalie, would you have eaten the baby goat?
Yes. I tweeted that. I was like, I don't know why these people aren't killing these goats. Like, I was in Sri Lanka at the time, so I couldn't watch that episode live. But I saw these tweets about chickens and goats, and I was like, dude, listen, I love baby goats. They're cute, but listen.
Sandra stopped. She didn't go ahead, and everybody said, no, we can't do it, and she gave up.
Yeah, because she did. I don't know if she would have known how to kill a goat. I know how to kill a goat. I would have killed a goat. Like, I would have just broken its neck first, and then I would have figured out how, if we hadn't, like, you know, let it bleed out, then chop the head off, hang it upside down, let it bleed out, then skin it, and you have, you know, good meat. Like,
yes.
I don't understand how that makes you villainous. I guess.
On the Facebook page. You'll see.
I saw that. No, I tweeted about eating them, and everybody was tweeting me, oh my God, that's so evil. And I was like, what the hell? Like, you guys eat chickens, you guys eat beef, but right. Somehow goats are like off limits. I don't get it.
Right. Is goat a popular food in Sri Lanka?
Yeah, goat is popular. Okay. It's popular in Caribbean food in Sri Lanka too, because beef and cows are harder to raise because they take way more sustenance. And, you know, when you think about raising a cow, you know, it takes a lot of grass or meal, where goats, like, they just roam around Sri Lanka like eating paper, and then you can just kill them and eat them.
Okay. That's good. That's a good garbage disposal.
I've never killed a goat, although after this episode, you know, I've killed chickens, and I went to a farm boarding school. So we killed our own chickens, and I've watched pigs getting slaughtered. I've never really killed a goat, but I've researched how to kill random animals before Survivor. So I think I could execute the actual part of killing a goat and, you know, cleaning it and having meat on each.
Okay. So we'll see if Sandra can top that. That was an impressive answer.
Yeah, she's Puerto Rican? She'll kill a goat too.
Okay. Talk to me about Jeffrey Goldstein wants to know, hypothetically, if you were on this season, who would you want to work with? Did you have like one or two people in mind that would have been your number one allies?
I feel like I would have wanted to work with the winners, and I would have created that bond with Tony and Sandra, and I would have made sure that we all stuck together, or other big characters. And I would have loved to work with Sari. I think I would have gravitated towards her and Sandra. Just, I would love to work with stronger women. And I think women are more trustworthy at the start. Like, Missy never faltered. Like, right when she voted against Jeremy that time, that was the only thing Missy ever lied to me about. And it's because she was like under John Mitch's spell or whatever, or Reed or whoever. I don't know who came up with that. That Jeremy vote is still up to debate. Like, nobody wants to agree who can take responsibility for it. But like, I would have worked with like the winners / like any of the powerful people. And I would have said, like, let's stick together for now. Let's vote off all these people who are just trying to like figure out who they are and have something to prove, because you can't trust them. We have nothing to prove. We've already won. Let's stick together at the start and then like duke it out at the end.
And then were you talking to any of these people before you went out there?
I roomed with Sandra. We did this thing for Terry Deep. Terry hosted this thing. Jeremy was supposed to go out too, but he couldn't because he was having a baby. And so he hosted this thing. I didn't do anything Survivor related, but for that I went out. It was to raise money and awareness for his sons, like the organization to become a donor. So we went out and she was there, and I met Richard Hatch. I met Sandra, and me and Sandra and Richard just kind of clicked. And this was, I knew I was in the running. Sandra didn't know she had not got the call yet, I don't think. But we talked then. I talked to Richard. Who else did I've met Andrea. Sierra from Jeremy's season had Jeremy text me and saying like she wants to work with me out on the beach, but I didn't reach back out to anybody. I didn't text anybody about anything. Mm-hmm. I was just like minding my damn business, because I know that's just like bad news if you try and text people before you go out there and try and do these pre-game like alliances. Right. Like, It's so stupid. Like people who that. Yeah. People who do that are just already like thirsty. Like I would never walk with somebody who was like already trying to do that before we even filming.
Cause you know that you're like the 19th person that they reached out to.
Exactly. And it's like, if you can't trust people like that. Like if I knew somebody before and I had made a connection pre filming and it was just like unsaid, I would have gone in having like a pre notion of wanting to work with somebody. But there was nobody on that season that I had ever played with. So I didn't have the luxury of even having that.
You don't have to say who, but was there anybody from this cast that was really trying to get a hold of you to talk?
Yeah, a couple.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Gregory McBean wants to know, do you have any fun stories from The Price is Right with Sierra, Ozzy, and Ceri? Of course, that you went down to The Price is Right last spring when they did the Survivor. It was stupid.
Well, because I was called up last, first of all. So I was like, oh, now, and I never even watched the show. And then I didn't even get up on stage. So I was just sitting there. I was a total peasant. I didn't get to do anything. I was like, why am I even here? But it was fun.
So you got called down to contestants row, right?
Yeah,
but then your person didn't get the right bid?
No, we bid well. And then Kelly and her stupid partner bid $1 more than us. And she got on stage, but it's fine. Like, whatever. That's like.
Oh, you were the last person to get called down to contestants row and you only had one shot.
Exactly. So Joe got up early and he was up there, had a million shots. Me and this poor guy got called up last. And then like we had one shot to vote on a bloody GoPro or something, and then like we didn't win because we had to go first, and so everybody else can like out your number or whatever. So then I didn't even get up to go on stage, and I was like, this is a waste of my fucking time.
Yeah. Were there any good stories from that day?
Absolutely no stories.
No stories at all?
What? I'm trying to think. I've had a concussion, so you have to remind me. You want to joke my
okay.
Country?
What about Ozzy being one of the male models?
Oh, yeah. He was, I mean, yeah, what about that?
I heard that they had to do multiple takes because Ozzy was humping the vehicle.
Oh, maybe. I honestly, Sierra and him were like the models for the show. I don't like, honestly, I probably wasn't even paying attention.
Okay, you were still in the concussion protocol, right?
No, this is pre-concussion.
Oh, pre-concussion. Oh, the concussion is the concussion's making it fuzzy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it wasn't compelling enough for me to actually pay attention.
Okay. Paul Schneider wants to know, who are you rooting for this season? Is there one person that you're hoping goes the distance?
Yeah, now, I mean, I would have loved to see Sandra. I thought it was going to be a long shot. Sandra go to the end. Now that she's out, like I said, I'm rooting for Sarah because she CrossFits and she kind of reminds, and I like her attitude now that she said, the fact that she's not playing like a cop, she's playing like a criminal. I think that's the right mentality. Like, I was excited maybe to see Ozzy go further, but maybe Troy's in. I would be happy if he made it far, but, you know, I'm always chicks before sticks, so.
Yes, sticks. Thank you. why? Do you know Troy's in?
No, I met him, I think, so at one of these bloody Survivor things, and he seems like a cool guy. That's it.
Okay. Ryan Springer wants to know, if you could play again, would you come back and say that you were Nadia?
No.
You get voted out first. They'll say, oh, we have to go and vote out the first person.
I don't think that's going to accomplish anything except make people think that I'm a crazy person. So I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. You'd have to be with the right people to pull that off. But yeah, then nobody would be able to say, like, hey, let's vote out the winner.
Yeah. I guess so. But it's just, I wouldn't do that. That would never be my strategy.
Okay. Would you be interested in all winners?
Yeah, I would be interested in all winners. I mean, these are like people who tweet me like things. I don't know how these fans know half the things they know because they know more than like I know for sure. But somebody said that they couldn't get enough all winners to come back, which is interesting, but I don't know.
Let's see, how many people? So we have 32 or I guess 33 winners with Sandra winning twice, right? No, see, now I'm going to be bad at math. So there's 33 seasons and Sandra won it twice. So 32 different people, right?
Yeah.
Have won it. So
I mean, this should be enough.
Yeah, there should be enough. Yeah, you would think that even if they went with like 18, you're telling me they couldn't get 18 of the 32 to come back?
Yeah, all of us would come back. Well, now I don't know if Tony would come back.
There's a couple of people I don't know, like Boston Rob talks about that. I don't know if he would come back, and I don't know if Amber would come back. And, you know, some people like, I don't know, like what, like somebody like Kim with, you know, three small kids, babies, yeah. You know, what her situation might be. So it might be tricky.
Yeah, but I think that would be awesome. Like, how would you not want to do that before the series is over?
Well, I think it's going to happen eventually. Hopefully. And I think you're in a good spot. I don't want to jinx you either.
Yeah, me neither. Hopefully I just stay injury free.
Yeah, stay injury free.
Yeah.
And just try to like stay in shrink wrap like I do up until.
I just need to wear like a helmet everywhere I go.
Okay. John wants to know, would you ever play The Amazing Race again? Hypothetically, let's say there was more Amazing Race.
There is a season going on right now.
I know there's a season going on right now, but I don't know if there's going to be another season after this.
Oh, dang. Well, yeah, I would do Amazing Race. I think if Amazing Race was super fun, I think that I would go in like no expectations, just look forward to enjoying time at Nadia. But maybe they could twist it up and just do, I feel like Amazing Race would do better if they didn't do this random couples thing and they just did stuck with like the classic. Because I think the magic in Amazing Race is the relationship, right? So it's like watching people like Trey and Lexi or Nadia and I do things together and be in these crazy situations together and having the relationship is like the magic of Amazing Race. And, you know, obviously like the countries and stuff are awesome too. But if the dynamics of the pairs aren't going to work, it doesn't matter how awesome the country is or how awesome the challenge is, it's not fun to watch. So I think that Amazing Race should do like a last season All-Stars like and bring back people and, you know, do like, that would be fun. I would be totally down.
See, I agree. I do think that there are some great teams, but I think that a lot of the seasons, I think you have like two or three really great teams, and then the rest of them are sort of like blah.
Yeah.
If I may say so again, yeah. I don't want to offend you as a Amazing Race alumni.
No, I agree.
But I actually, I don't know if you've been following this season. Somehow, even though it's been random, like of the teams that are there, like six out of the eight are actually, it's an interesting dynamic.
Somebody tweeted me that a team reminds me of Nadia and I, and I'm horrified to see what team because they're probably a hot mess. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I don't know who it might have been. I mean, there was one team that were, they were the hashtag Swole Sisters.
Oh, my God.
But they actually were not very good.
Were they even swole or strong?
They were. They both were really they were pretty big.
But and so they were strong. They weren't just like look strong, but then couldn't do anything.
Yeah. One is like a police like canine officer.
Oh,
and I think the
cool.
other one was like a drill sergeant or something like that.
Okay,
so
that's badass. OK, so maybe I should watch and see.
But they actually were not good.
Oh, that sucked. Well, we not even weren't good up for second season. We got out first.
Yeah. Okay. And then also with this Amazing Race, it's the blind date version or sort of like the mixed couples. Would you or Nadia ever participate in something like that without each other, like being on different teams?
Tinder Amazing Race,
yes.
Well, if it was like supposed to be romantic, I don't know if Nadia would, but I feel like I would because Nadia is just like she would be like, oh hell no. But yeah, I don't. I feel like I would be paired up with a stranger, but if he was like, if he sucked, I don't know. It's really hard for me to fake it, so I feel like I would be like, okay, this isn't working. Like, bye. Left swipe. I swipe left.
Swipe left. Bye. They should have that, the swipe left, where you end up getting rid of your partner and
they
getting a new one.
Instead of like a U-turn, they should have a Tinder like stop, and then you can swipe left on your partner and like trade them off.
That'd be good. I think they should do that. Ryan Hilliard wants to know, Natalie, how many grams of sugar are in a unicorn frappuccino from Starbucks?
Okay, so I asked this. Let me tell you right now, it's insane. Like, they should be illegal.
Yeah, why does this make you so mad that they have a unicorn frappuccino?
All I see on Instagram are people eating these rubbish. Okay, so it's 59 grams of sugar per 16 ounces, okay? So the kids are getting the ginormous ones, which is almost double the amount of sugar, and like Starbucks is just marketing this like quote
but
unquote.
But is it coffee? Are they giving kids coffee? That seems worse than giving kids the sugar.
No, coffee's fine. It's better than sugar.
Yeah. Well, and the last thing you want to give kids is coffee and sugar. You want those kids going to bed.
Yeah, exactly. These kids are just running around drinking this quote unquote magical drink and it's just completely garbage. It's just rubbish, toxic, killing. Like, it just makes me infuriated because And it's expensive. So it's like, these kids should be saving their money. Parents should not be buying their kids this. It's so bad.
Yes. Okay. So no, we, if there was a gross food challenge on Survivor, would you drink a unicorn frappuccino?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I would. I wanted one on my season, but I wasn't that lucky, but, yeah, I would drink. Sugar would be awesome when you're out there because you just need energy before challenges. But I mean, it would make me sick because you are not eating any sugar and then you're having basically like spooning sugar into your mouth. Like, yuck.
Okay, that was like what Sandra did, your friend. She literally did that. Was there more sugar in that jar or a unicorn frappuccino?
I mean, like I tweeted about this too. I said like I wouldn't let people just randomly eat sugar. If I was on the beach, I would have been like, guys, we're only taking shots of sugar before the challenges, so we have energy pre-challenge, like almost like a pre-workout. I wouldn't let people just eat sugar for breakfast. Like, let's keep this like. It's like liquid gold out there. It's like, you know, having a Gatorade before a game if you need to like to have, but you know, whatever.
I think that's why JT got so mad that basically Michaela asked him to make a unicorn frappuccino for him with 7 drops of coffee and all that sugar.
Yeah, like this ain't Starbucks, okay, girl, come on.
Okay. Felipe Shimon wants to know, can Natalie discuss what is happening with Joe Anglim and Kelly Wigglesworth on their new show? Have you seen any of this?
No, I have not. What's their show?
Oh, they're doing like a naked body painting in a new video.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Naked and Afraid.
No.
So they have their own TV show about naked body painting?
I think they've shot it, but I don't know if it's on it. You can't watch it yet.
Oh, I think that's bizarre.
But there's a video of them with a lot of body paint this week.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. So please nobody tweet me the link. I'm good on that thing.
Are you saying nobody tweet you the link? Wink, wink.
No, I'm saying nobody tweet me the wink. Serious face.
Yes. Would you have worked with Andrea if you were in Sierra Dawn Thomas's spot because you have the Miss Survivor bond?
Yeah, I feel like I would have worked with Andrea. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's easy for me to judge her on her season where she was like boy crazy or whatever, running around with that other guy and like be judgmental and use that against her and be like, I really shouldn't work with her. But I feel like she would have been an easy one to keep on like in an alliance and keep tight. So I would have worked with her.
Okay. It would have been a good bond. You know, it can go either way. You know, you saw like Kelly and Tasha had a lot of friction because of Miss Survivor back in Cambodia.
Yeah, Andre could secretly be totally jealous that I'm Miss Survivor.
the current one, right.
Current, yeah. The one who took her crown for her forever.
Yes, but you didn't go against her. Look, she could take it back from you next year.
Oh, so you could bring it back?
You could maybe she said we should bring it back.
Oh, okay.
So you never know.
Well, if you guys bring it back, I think if Sandra ran, Sandra might win, you know.
All right. Well, first Sandra's got to get past you for best villain. That's she's got to worry about what's in front of her.
I don't know. Like it's interesting to me. Like I'm super honored to be even like, you know, make it this far. I was pretty confident beating Cass and Abby, but you know, it's awesome to be going against somebody like Sandra because she's such, you know, she's like Survivor royalty, but I don't want to sell myself short. I definitely think that I'm definitely worthy of the title of being ultimate villain. I think it sucks that people see me in a different light. I feel like that's going to work against me when it comes to voting as a villain because people were so rooted for me. So, and I was felt like so much love for my season. Like people were genuinely happy that I won and they were happy because the story with Nadia and Jeremy is such a compelling one that it's going to be hard for people to see me in this villain.
Okay, but you're thinking that people are just going to vote based on the villain criteria and maybe people are going to say, okay, I like Natalie, and then some people, I go on the Survivor Facebook, some people are mad at Sandra, so you might benefit from that.
Maybe, that's awesome. And like, you know, at the end of the day, it's a popular vote, okay? It's like, who do you like the best? Like, so hopefully people like me more and like my game more and maybe they vote for me.
I'll tell you, I you know where I think this is going?
Where?
If you move on past Sandra, this could be you versus Wentworth in the next round.
You think Wentworth's going to beat Suri?
Well, It would be tough, especially with Ceri on the show right now. That would be tough.
Even for me, Alexandra's on the show right now. Ceri's on the show right now.
Look, I think you'd say that it would be maybe an upset if you knocked off Sandra here. You know, well, who's to say there can't be another upset?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But Wentworth was on TV more recent than me too. So people are going to remember her. Like they're more, she's more.
But you were on this podcast now.
True. And I did beat Wentworth in a Miss Survivor. Okay.
Well, it could be a rematch. It could be a rematch of that in the finals.
True.
So we'll see what that looks like. Or it could be Ceri versus Sandra. And I don't know if they have any sort of a feud.
So like me versus Kelly, I feel like it's super awesome to go against us two going against each other would be cool. And I feel like that's similar with Ceri and Sandra. It's like a cool matchup either way what happens. I feel like if Ceri wins, people are going to be voting Sandra. So like I feel like if people vote for me, the same people are going to be voting for Kelly. So I think it's either going to be me and Kelly in the finals or Ceri and Sandra.
It'll be very, very tricky. All right. Yeah. Natalie, anything else you want people to know about?
No, not really. I'm excited to see how this ends. And yeah.
You're excited about the Jets schedule, which just came out?
Yeah. Well, I think we're opening with Miami, I think.
No, Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo, yeah. But yes. I don't know. Like,
do you think they're going to win any games?
You know what? I'm on the fence with the Jets right now because Woody is a Trump supporter. And, you know, hashtag not my team, not my president. So,
you're out. You're out on the Jets because of Woody Johnson.
I don't know. Like, they're still like, you know.
Well, we'll find a new. Who's going to be your new team?
I don't know.
Not the Patriots then.
And not the Patriots and not the Giants. So yeah. I might just like, I don't know, root for the Eagles.
I don't know. Well, if you're going to get into the politics of the owners, I think that you might be hard pressed.
I'm still a Jets fan. So, okay. Yeah, it'll be fun. I miss football. Like basketball is not exciting to me. I don't watch the NBA at all. So I'm excited to have football season back. And as usual, Jeremy, Nadia, Val, and I always get into it because of the Patriots and the Jets. So hopefully I get to go to that game. I'm sure they play each other. So
they'll play each other twice.
Yeah.
Natalie, do you have a hashtag for this podcast?
Let's see. Hashtag heads up for the concussion.
Heads up. Okay. Does that have a certain meaning in the world of concussions?
Yeah. So it's like heads up means like you have to put your head first. So when you get hit, you don't keep playing a sport when you're hit. If you hit your head, you're supposed to take it easy, give yourself an evaluation. And in a situation, always, err on the side of caution. And, you know, you only have one brain, so you have to take care of yourself and, don't take it for granted. Concussions are serious business, guys.
So don't mess around. And if you think you might have a concussion, definitely err on the side of caution. Natalie, it's so nice to catch up with you. Of course, Natalie is on Twitter at Natalie and...
Yeah, same on Instagram. It's 2 E's.
Okay. And hoping that sooner than later, we do end up getting you back out there.
I know, me too.
If Ciara Dawn Thomas wins, should she have to give you something? Should she have to buy you a present?
Right? I don't know. Like, it's such a tricky thing because it's almost like if somebody takes my place, I want them to go all the way and win. But at the same time, I have other people I'm rooting for. But if she does win, I feel like she should just like be like, all right, Natalie, it's because of you I got this opportunity. So here you go. Here's a little something, something. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice.
It's not going to happen. But
yes,
if she does win, that's fine.
Yeah. And not a unicorn frappuccino.
Anything but a unicorn frappuccino.
Yes. Did you hear that I talked to Johnny Fairplay a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, and he talked about how on his birthday, he, as a special honor, he had Baylor Wilson come and
we'll just show up.
You're kidding me, right?
I'm not kidding you. That's what he wanted for his birthday. Baylor Wilson came and performed for him.
Oh my God. That just show up clip is like, just gets under my skin. It's so awkward. That's weird. Baylor's actually on like tour or something now. She might be coming up here. So, I would go see Baylor. I'm a huge Baylor, Wilson music fan. You know, that's my girl. So, that's good for him. I don't know. That's awkward though.
Okay.
That's awkward.
I'm sure it was. All right, Natalie. Take care and best to Nadia and talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Rob. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Natalie Anderson, your reigning Miss Survivor and also the winner of Survivor Blood Water 2 here on the podcast. And she does crack me up on the podcast. So always a pleasure to get her back here to talk about some stuff. All right, so that's going to do it for us here. I mentioned at the top of the show all of the podcasts that are coming up in the main feed. For those of you who are the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, we have our monthly patron cast call coming up on Tuesday night. I'll be taking phone calls from the patrons. Do that for, it goes on about like 3 hours, the patron cast. I'll be taking phone calls live starting at 8 p.m. Eastern coming up on Tuesday night over on our patron cast page. If you want to find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, all of the shows and all of the stuff that we offer as a way of saying thanks to our patrons, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Very much looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And the next time you'll hear me will be with Josh Wiggler in the Wiggle Room coming up on Monday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.